The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Well, are you clearing your throat just in time for Mission Minded? There's Michael Coleman right there on our YouTube channel getting ready for another award-winning Mission Minded. So keeping your mind, your mission. Michael, of course, is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We do a show every single week and want to thank the thousands of folks who not only find us, but tell your friends and family about us. And of course, we're available in every major industry and right here on our YouTube channel where you can actually see these two hunky-dory guys talking some business. Michael, what's been going on, brother? How are things going with you?
Very busy in the food banking world. I was privileged to get to break bread with you last week. Really enjoyed that.
I love
working on this President's Day. We take a lot of days off. We had to, we can't take every holiday off. I try to give the employees an extra day around Christmas, an extra day around New Year's, an extra day around Thanksgiving. So I told him, I said, we got to sacrifice something. So it's President's Day and Columbus Day that's getting sacrificed around here. We're still here working.
There you go. What happens when you make that sacrifice? I mean, when you're talking about something as important as feeding America, it's not like you get a day off. I mean, I even put it remotely in the same thing, but I run a 24-hour business. So it's like trying to lock the doors at a Waffle House. It doesn't work.
That's right. If we were to shut down today, everything gets pushed back another day. Agencies coming and picking up from us, food not being distributed. So we do try to be very mindful, but it's a balancing act between meeting the need of the public and also taking care of employees and making sure that they have time off that they need to for their families and themselves. So we're trying to strike the right balance.
There you go. Something we want to get into, a very interesting article that you sent from Business Insider. And it's funny because I just had someone approach me earlier this morning, as a matter of fact, as we do the show here on President's Day, and they're like, man, what's it like being self-employed? And I said, well, the first thing you do is whenever someone says, you know, what do you do? And you say, I own my own business, right away, everyone thinks you're wealthy. And it's not true. It's not true. 99.9% of the time, it's not true. It does sound good to say you own your own business, and then you go, okay, well, what do you do for a living? And then you want to find out, okay, is this guy working out of his garage, or what exactly does he do for a living? And then you try to explain to him what that is. And I said, you know, the important thing to remember is why you want to be self-employed and why you want to be your own boss in the first place. A lot of people do it because they are tired of the dirt and grime of the CEO world and the conglomerates and these big stores, and they're just tired of working for the man. Right. And then there's other people that maybe have in my particular case, a family situations where you want to be able to write your own time. You're not worried about putting in 60 to 80 hours a week. You're happy to work your hiney off, but you got to do it on your clock, which is basically how it worked for me. But I said, it is important to remember that you are the CEO of your own career. When you don't have someone promoting or demoting or calling you in for sales meetings and you are on your own, you can be as big as you want to be, but you can also be as small as you're going to have to be. And it's important to remember that, you know, if there's no money in the bank and you want to take off next week, good luck. It doesn't work that way. So this interesting article is about basically managing your boss, because in most cases, despite the fact that we have a record number of new business owners now in this country, it's amazing. Yeah. I think COVID really made people think, hey, you can do this on your own. And it is very difficult. We know that 7 in 10 businesses don't make it. We all are trying to manage our boss because we want our bosses to see what kind of work we're doing and how well we're doing so we can get promoted within and so we can make more money there as well. Start right there. In this interesting article, you are the CEO of your career. And as CEO, you can't leave something as important as your success in your job and career to someone else, namely your boss. Where do we get lost in that? What's the biggest misnomer in that?
Well, you know, every CEO or every boss, every supervisor, whoever you're working for, you know, the reality is there's probably more bad ones than good ones. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, lots of times if you're pressured, if you have a CEO who's pressured, the bottom line on the company, you know, nonprofits are always about meeting the mission of what you've been designed to do, but also your fundraising. So, there's always this pressure of just operability. And lots of times it's the employees that get chewed up in that process because there's no bandwidth left for you, even though you may personally care about employees, to be able to sit down and take the time to manage what their careers are or what they desire it to be, because you're focused on it just from a top end perspective. Now, with people who say, well, I'm tired of being on the bad end of that, I want to go start my own business. Oftentimes they start their own business. Now they're the ones who, they're placed in that position and they have employees start working for them. You see, that whole dynamic is flipped. They're like, well, I'd like to pay you more, but I'm only bringing in this much revenue. Now they're the ones with the pitch. And, I learned this a long time ago in the Army. When I enlisted into the Army back in 1984, I spent half my time enlisted, half my time as a commissioned officer. But when I started going through there, I started looking ahead and going, what do I want out of the military? If I was just going to stay in 3 years and get out, then I wouldn't have really cared. What was I moving up? Was I getting promoted? But I was very blessed. And I had some good supervisors who said, look, you need to be looking 3 or 4 ranks ahead. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be saying, okay, you'll get this rank. And when you're lower enlisted, you get promoted primarily based on time that you have served. But then when you start getting as non-commissioned officers, there's a lot of things that can affect that. And so I was working in my lower ranks already for the time that I was going to get promoted in the NCO ranks. And it actually proved, because I was a E6 in 5 years.
And of course, money comes along with those promotions, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, money, yeah. Responsibility, all those kind of things. Yeah. But I made rank fast, not because I was necessarily a spear soldier, but I did just what this article's talking about. I took control of my career at a very young age. And then later on, even after I became an NCO, I said, look, I'm pretty much decided I'm going to make a career out of this. So what's the most juice I can squeeze out of this that I'm still true to myself? And that's when I was like, well, I could go to officer candidate school and, make my rank there, retire as an officer, have a much higher retirement value. And so the process is incredibly difficult. OCS is no fun. It's about 16 weeks of just hell for the most part. And it says none of it's fun, but it was all with the name of, look, I'm taking, and I had my future mapped out all the way to the end of my Army career. I knew when I wanted my career to end. I knew what I, all of that. But I was working at 10 years in the rear, already planning for that. And so what this article is really doing is just giving some advice about, hey, this really applies to everybody, no matter what age you are, or look at where you and goals and things like that will change. I get that.
And how let's back up a little bit. How did that work out for you? You said you're working 10 years in arrears. Because for people who don't know, how did it finish up for you?
Yeah. So I ended up retiring about the timeline I wanted to. I was 39 years old when I retired from the Army. I ended up serving 21 years. And I've always had a military retirement to supplement me as I've gone through life and dealt with other positions. And without that, I don't know how I'd have made it, because when I started Hope Inspired Ministries, when I started my other nonprofit that's still going today, I did that for 7 years. I had to take a very low salary just to survive until I could build up a donor base. So without that military retirement, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish some of the things I've ultimately accomplished and been blessed to be a part of without that. But if you peel it all the way back, that started from the very beginning, my very first duty assignment, doing things that I didn't even understand the full ramifications of, but was being told, do this and you're going to see the benefit down the road.
Were there any surprises? This is really interesting. Were there any surprises? Because obviously you served for 21 years and thank you for your service. Was there anything that really surprised you, or at the age of 39, were you like, when he was 36, were you like, okay, three more years, I know I'm out? Or did you ever change your mind? Or did you think, well, maybe I want to be a life longer here?
Yeah. So I actually I was looking at staying longer at one time, but then I had arranged my career to end in the place that I went to, which was stateside. If I would have taken the rank of major, then I would have had to go back overseas a year and over to Korea. I would have had to spend a year away from the family. And at that point, my youngest daughter was entering her senior year of high school. And I just made the decision, that's not something I want to do. I'm not willing to be away. It was just a critical time for our family. My other daughter was in college, but was locally going to college. And so just a lot, you know, my two daughters were entering into adulthood, and I just didn't want to be out of the country for a year during that transition. And then when I came back, I would have had a commitment. They could have moved me anywhere in the world they wanted to. So it was very important that I manage my career. And I really learned a lesson because I've really done that ever since then. And I looked at this article, it really hit home with me because I'm like, well, he's articulating exactly what I did throughout the years. And so I can speak to the benefit of doing it and how important.
You're spot on. And I will just go through a couple of lines. First, interview your boss. That's right. Until you understand clearly and in detail what they want you to do and write it down.
Yeah. So again, I'm going to kind of walk through this using the Army scenario. Yeah. So because you have so many different supervisors in the Army, a lot of people learning leadership, they may turn out to be great leaders, but you may catch them when they're very first learning how to be leaders. It may not be the most effective. But the truth of the matter is, I looked at the Army and I remember coming to an understanding that I'm not going to change a couple of hundred years of tradition. The Army is an institution. It has its rules. You're going to abide by their way or you're going to go somewhere else. But what I did decide, and this is kind of similar, is I'm like, well, what does the Army really want from me? What do they desire from me? In other words, how do I work within the system that I'm in to maximize what I want to accomplish? So in order to do that, I had to understand, okay, what do you want out of me to be an effective soldier? And I had to, so that was me giving to them and saying, I'm going to conform to what you want me to be. Just like if I was on a job and I'd go to my boss and I'd say, hey, help me understand, you know, not only what you want me to do, but help me understand a bigger picture of how I fit into accomplishing your job and helping you look good and move up. Because it's really great if the employee and the supervisor's goals can align, because then you're working together. You've got that synergy that's working, and that's very, very important. I think back when I was a commander, I'm going to reverse this a little bit. I was a company commander. I had about 160 people, soldiers in my unit. My next higher headquarters had what's called a mission essential task list. And so every headquarters was part of the next higher headquarters mission essential task. Mm-hmm. So we were Air Defense Brigade, but I was the communications company inside the Air Defense Brigade. And I said all that to say, we had a role, we had a central task that we had to do, but if we didn't do our central task, then our higher headquarters couldn't do their central task, and on and on and on. Well, when I come into a business, I can look at it like, look, this position is here because they need me to be doing some functions. Mm-hmm. I want to do it well. I want to do it in accordance with how the boss and the organization wants me to do it. And so I want them to see me as an active, invested member. However, that does not mean that I don't have specific goals that I'm trying to obtain. It may be savings in the company. It may be, hey, I'm trying to get this supervisor position. So I'm looking two steps up and I'm going, wait a minute, that guy, if I want to get up to this level within an organization, I'm going to have a bachelor's degree in organizational management, for instance, or whatever. So then I have a decision to make. hey, I'm looking way up. I don't know when I could be eligible for this, but I want to be at that position. So I'm going to start going to college today because now I understand what they're looking for in order to progress up. That's exactly
and
what some, I did.
And sometimes, and my brother was kind of in the same boat. He worked for General Electric. He was helping replace military engines and stuff up in Cincinnati and Mason, Ohio. And he had been at this job for a long period of time. He got laid off. And was fully vested. He'd been in the company for 30 years. And if they don't hire you back within 5 years, you'll lose everything. Well, they brought him back about a week before his 5 years was up. He goes back. So he wants to go. He came in right where he left off. He wasn't starting at an opening position again. But he was told that if he wanted to be a foreman or the boss of his own unit, that he was going to have some type of educational fortitude, which wasn't the way it was when he first started working there.
Right.
So now at the age of 56 years old, he's being told he needs to go back to college. Well, yeah. You know, he put 30 years in, and so he did it. He started, and kudos to him. He's like, you don't have to have this, but you'll never get this job unless you have this. The difference between you and this guy is that he's got the education, you don't. And so, he went to night school for 2 years and ended up getting that position and then retired 3 years later. So, I mean, that's something
as a retiree, he's reaping the benefits.
Yeah.
Of that decision. That was a pain for him to go back to school.
Oh, man.
You know, in your 50s. But, you know, I went night and weekends to school, and I even went out on Saturdays on the weekends and cut people's grass to earn money to go to book. I mean, I did a lot of things. That's how vital, important college was to me. But it was all not because I was benefiting in the moment, but knew that I was working towards some goal down the road.
Yeah. We were talking about being CEO of your own career. And this is from a Business Insider article here, how to manage your boss, set regular meetings with an agenda that you write and maintain and solicit constructive and detailed feedback. This is really interesting to me because I think for the most part, a good day is when you don't see your boss.
Right.
You know, if you go weeks on end and you don't see your boss, you're thinking, okay, things must be going really, really well. I always look at it from like they must not be going well. I didn't like the kiss ass, the one that was always getting the boss his coffee, but that guy usually ended up staying in the office a lot longer than the rest of us do. But let's just talk about maybe having a personal policy of just keeping in touch and letting your boss see you. You know, we had the guys get there at 6:30. One guy used to go back out to his car and take a nap for 2 hours and come back at 9. And he wanted his boss to see him at 6:30 and he'd be the last one in, last one out. That didn't last too long. Talk about, you know, the boss knowing you. And of course, when you're talking about hundreds or maybe in the military, you're talking about everyone's a number. It's got to be kind of hard to do that.
Yeah. And really it's about managing the boss's expectation. You don't want to be a blowhard about your skill set and what you can do, where you're over promising and under delivering. That leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You know, the guys that are humble and says, hey, I'll do anything you need me to do, come in here. You know, I touched on this with you earlier that, you know, having a job, most people have a job description, say, here, you know, here's the expectation. Mm-hmm. And you come in and say, yeah, I'm going to do that. But you want to over-deliver, excuse me, not over-promise. So you want to under-promise. You want to be, because you're doing two things. You want to be a great employee, but you also have an agenda as well. Your agenda is to make your boss successful, to make the organization successful, but also this is part of your career. I mean, think about it. Let's say, you know, I've been in situations where people say, hey, I really want to move up and there's just no room in the company. But I tell them, look, you've been a great worker and I will bend over backwards to connect you to people that I know who will give you a greater chance than maybe is available here. And I will write the letters and I will go out of my way. So people will look at it. Well, why would I try? Because try for this person's job or that person's job. No, it's about building a network where people say, this guy, hey, I'm gonna go to a friend and I would never recommend somebody I didn't have 100% confidence in. So you manage the boss's expectations, you work hard, you don't lead out with, oh, I'm the first one here, first one to leave, all that kind of stuff. You just want to, hey, I'm here, to do what the boss needs. But we all, there's always a fine line between ass kissing and, you know, making your presence felt. You want to make sure that when you're meeting with your boss, and let's say it's once a quarter, to go in and say, hey, look, I know I get a written evaluation every year, but I came in here, I started this, and here was kind of what you said you wanted. Here's some things I've tried to do. Can you give me some feedback? Are you happy? Or do you want me to tweak any of these? What can I do? So you're just eagerly wanting to show that, hey, I'm part of the team. I think I'm doing what you've asked me to. I'm trying to excel at it. But hey, let's tweak it, because if you get too far down this road and you're not pleasing the boss, but you think you are. Mm-hmm. So that's where the regular communication, the coming in every morning and bringing the coffee and kissing ass, all that stuff, that's not what's important. But to communicate and make sure that whatever the boss's expectations are, that you're meeting those, again, because it's going to pay off down the road, not necessarily in the moment.
And finally, and then this last one's kind of interesting, because we always think about mission statements and we're not supposed to change mission statements, but review and update your mission statement, in quotes, regularly with your boss with an eye to your future. What does that mean?
Well, if I went back and said, were my priorities at 19 the same as they were at 39? And I would say,
better
no.
Not.
Yeah, my mission statement's not going to be. I saw a great quote. It was attributed to Denzel Washington. Do not know if he actually said it. But he said, a man who thinks exactly the same at age 40 as he did at age 20 just wasted 20 years of his life.
Wow.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am somebody who constantly reflects on how, you know, as I'm 58 now, but I'm still open to changing my perspective as I gain more information. And I consider that growth. So when I was in my early 20s, I had a wife and I had a little child, and we were living over in Europe. We were stationed over in Europe, thinking through kind of what our goals were. But then we had our second child, had a couple of duty stations. Now I'm just looking further down the road and starting to think career-wise. And so, wait a minute, if I'm going to be a career, that's when I said, you know what? I've got to have it to go to OCS. I've got to have at least 3 years of college to get approved to go there. You didn't have to have a degree then, but you had to be well on your way. And that's when I really started buckling down and going to school, thinking at some point I can get enough college to apply to go to officer school. And it was several years later, for a host of different reasons, Desert Storm and everything else was in the way. But I look back over my Army career, and my perspectives and my goals and all of that continued to change as my family dynamic changed, as we experienced different cities to live in and where we might want to retire. Did we want to come back to Alabama? All those kind of things all affect. Because I will tell you this. I was communications officer, and the home of communication used to be, they've changed a lot of the bases now, but it used to be Fort Gordon, Georgia, mm-hmm. which was in Augusta, Georgia. So I was there several times, and I thought, I really want to organize my time that I can do my last duty assignment from there. I already had a good, strong network there. Didn't 100% know what I was going to do for sure or where I was going to do it, but I knew I had a good, strong network from there, and it would be a good place to transition from retirement back into the civilian life. Yeah. Well, I spent 5.5 years in El Paso, Texas at Fort Bliss doing things and mapping my career there and trying to affect my career by taking certain positions, all with an aim of when I go back to school and then get an assignment there and stay there. So I lived a very calculated 21 years in the Army, always thinking and looking back on it, it was like I did the best I could to be the best soldier I could be and give the Army everything they asked for, while simultaneously managing the outcomes of my career. So when the time came, I felt I was in control. I ended up where I wanted to be. Now, does it always work out like that? Of course not. It doesn't. But But it's certainly smart to be thinking down the road and doing what you can in the moment to affect that outcome.
And it worked out great for you. And now you're the CEO of just a wonderful organization, the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, and you do wonderful work there. You talked about 21 years it took. You knew it was going to be 21 years. And I think it's amazing because I've got friends of mine who are police officers who retired from the police department, you know, in their 40s. And they're like retired. And I'm like, and I don't even know what kind of pension money they get, but I mean, they don't have to work if they don't want to. They have like wives that are working. They have families, man. And the wives are like, get your ass out of the house, go work at a flower shop or something, but get out of here. And I look back on that usually on my worst days and think, man, what if I had gotten into something when I was 16, 17, 18 years of age that I knew was going to be 20, 21 years of something that I don't particularly want to do, but I knew it was going to really set my table for my financial future. And I was going to at least have a pension. I was going to at least have something that was going to be kicked back to me every month. Is that dangerous to do? Is that smart to do? Is that, because I mean, right now people are saying, you know, you don't want to go to college. You can make a lot more money doing skilled stuff. And then you're sitting there saying, you know, what, all of a sudden you're in your mid 40s and all of a sudden, oh, by the way, if you want to go to this next level, you need to have a bachelor's degree. And you're 47 years old. I mean, I know that's probably different for each individual, but
it really is, because, you know, I have two grandsons now. One's in the finishing up the ninth grade. He's the oldest. And before, with my two daughters, I've mentioned this on the show before, I always talk to them in terms of when you go to college. There was just an expectation. Mm-hmm. But I recognize with my grandchildren, you know, it may be a much better fit, much more practical fit if they enjoy working with their hands and going, learning those skill sets. For me, I was on such a bad path that the Army, I needed, just for my own life, the path, the structure and the discipline that the military gave me. And I didn't know that I needed that.
Yeah.
And it was probably 4 or 5 years in before I really started thinking in terms of a possible career and started trying to manage that and was constantly tweaking as I learned new information and had new opportunities. But I saw lots of people come in the military and got out because they didn't want that discipline. Right? They were not good fits for that. It was something I desperately needed, and I surrendered my self-will to conform. You have people that come in the military that absolutely will not conform. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they won't excel in other places. That's just not who they are. Some people are not meant to go to college, but then you have others who are meant to go to college who couldn't go out and be an electrician and carpenter, don't have those kind of skills. So regardless of what pathway you take, I mean, there's a lot of wisdom with people going and committing to something like that has pensions, because as we've talked about, the pension system outside of the military and outside of government typically doesn't exist much anymore with companies. Mm-hmm. It's all been replaced with 401ks. And that's all dependent on what you're willing to put in it. But regardless of which path you choose, I think it's very, very smart for you to sit down and think ahead and at least begin with a plan of what you feel like you need to do in the moment. Like as of today, if I see myself, if I've got 10 years at this job, I'm going to work. So I'm going to look at, okay, if I work another 10 years, what does the company, what's the benefit? If I work 15 more years, what's the company benefit? But let's say there's no more benefit, mm-hmm. you know, then what am I holding on to if a better job comes along? But a lot of people, Alabama has a pretty good retirement system. And so there's a lot of people who will say, you know, I've already given 10 years to the state of Alabama. I'm going to go get my last 10 years in another state job so I can get that pension and retirement as well. It's just a million different scenarios. It's just important that everybody manage where they are. Don't leave it up to the boss. The boss is going to be busy. The boss is going to have a million priorities. It would be nice if every boss's priority was seeing that the careers of their employees were managed.
Yeah.
It's just not a reality. Yeah.
Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. If you have any questions or any comments, you want to comment on this show or any of our other shows, we've got hundreds of podcasts. They're unbelievable shows. They're great. And, of course, he joins us every single week. Another show we do right here on TKR and wherever you get your favorite podcast called Bite by Bite. It's up here next on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.